Hey, you know, every one of us is telling a story. Some of us like the story we're telling, some of us don't. And not only does every person have a story, but every church has a story. And 1992 was a pivotal year in the story of our church. A lot of you don't know this part of the story, but in 1992, the pastor who was here was named Ed Towne. Ed Towne was an incredible pastor, deeply loved, very, very gifted, and helped Pantano to grow dramatically. And at that time, we were on Golf Links. Our building was over there, so we'd outgrown that building, and they sold the building, bought this land that we're on right now, and until the construction began, we're meeting in the auditorium of Sorrel High School. And, you know, the church was just ready for a new start here on this new property. And then something tragic happened. Ed Towne was killed in a car accident. And that's why sometimes you'll hear us refer to the building here on the south as Town Hall. That's named after Ed Towne, not a town hall where people speak. It's named after him. And, of course, the church and his family went through incredible grieving because of that. And the word around town was that that was going to be the end of Pantano Christian Church. They lost a pastor, no building, you know, still owed money paying off this land. It was a huge challenge, and people just assumed that that would probably be the end of Pantano Christian Church. And then God called another incredible man to come and help Pantano experience that new start. His name is Tim Koop. And Tim left a successful, strong ministry in Corona, California, came here to help us get this new start. And Tim came and not only got the church through that difficult period, but also led the church through two building programs, helped us launch our first church plant in Vail Christian Church, and just did incredible work here. Tim was responsible 10 years ago of helping launch me to become the lead pastor. And then a few years after that, went to start kind of a new work in Las Vegas, helping a new church, mentoring and helping the staff that was there. And so what happened was is that Tim experienced another change. Christmas Eve. On Christmas Eve, Tim went home to be with the Lord, to experience his final destination, the one that he had always longed for and hoped for. And for those of you who didn't get to know Tim, Tim was a man of incredible integrity. All of us who were at his memorial service yesterday, who are pastors, we all said the same thing. We all want to be like Tim Koop, that kind of man, so Christ-like, so full of love. If didn't matter who you were, if you got in Tim Koop's way, he would love on you. And those of you remember, his arms are this wide, you know, and he would just hug you. And I'm just reminded this weekend with his memorial that Tim allowed God to write a great story with his life. And then Tim used that great story to help others write a great story. And so we're going to begin the new series today. And this new series we're calling Write a Better Story. What we want to do over the next few weeks is we want to figure out how is it that we can learn to write a better story. Maybe we need to write a new story. We just don't like at all the story that's in our life now. Or maybe we just know that it can be better and we want to write a better story. And we're going to look at some key decisions that we need to make to be able to write a better story from wherever we are now to wherever we want to be. And I assume that you want to write a better story. And I know that God wants us to write a better story. So there's some things that I want you to consider. Consider this. What's the story that God wants you to want? Okay, now I didn't word that the way you probably was expecting it. What's the story that God wants you to want? And then once we have that understood, then the next question follows through naturally is, what's the story that God wants us to write once we know what he wants us to want? And our future story is dependent on decisions we make now. So here's the point of my message today, and this is going to undergird us through this whole series, is this. Decisions today determine your destination tomorrow. Decisions that you make today are going to determine where this story ends up, the destination of tomorrow. And so we want to write a better story. To write that better story, we have to make some decisions. We want God to inform and guide us in those decisions so that, in fact, a better story can be told into the future. And there's three categories of decisions we're going to look at. There's probably more, but there's at least three we're going to look at. And those are about decisions of things that we need to start. There's certain things that we need to start if we're going to write a better story. So there's some things we need to stop if we're going to write a better story. Sometimes to write a better story, we just need to stay with something. And then as we've learned to start and stop and stay with God's guidance, then there, at some point we're going to have the ability to share that story with others. And so that's going to be the how this series plays out over the next 4 weeks. We're going to look at these decisions of starting, stopping, staying, and then being able to share our stories. And today what we're going to focus on is the idea of starting. Now, all of this series is built off of a passage that we're going to find in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll look at it in just a moment, we're going to get the instruction, the guidance of how to make these decisions to start, stop, stay, and then ultimately be able to have something to share. Now, when we read this passage in just a moment, we're going to notice that the metaphor is a little different than what I've been sharing. I've been using the metaphor of story. We all have a story. The metaphor that Hebrews uses is the metaphor of a race, not just a short race, but a long race, a marathon. But think about it. That's exactly what our story is. Our story is this race, but it's a marathon. It's a long story. And we're going to look at the decisions that we need to make along this race, this marathon, to get us to a good destination. And all of that because of the whole thing that I'm trying to help us understand, that the decisions today determine our destination tomorrow. So take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12, turn on your device, and it's on page 844 in the Bibles in the seats in front of you, page 844. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to start at verse 1. Therefore, and by the way, I'm going to come back to that therefore next week. That we're going to look at this passage through several weeks. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. What we just read is that there's this race marked out before us. Now, what does that mean? I think there's two ways that that's often understood. And let me start with what I think it doesn't mean, because sometimes that helps us better understand what it means. When he says there's a race marked out before us, sometimes we assume through some filter that we've had that that means that God has every little detail of our life worked out and we got to follow it. Like, this race marked out for us means he knows where he wants us to live. There's one place he wants us to live. There's one person he wants us to marry. There's one car he wants us to drive, and he's got the parking place figured out for us too. Okay? I don't think that's what this means. See, the fact is God allows us to make a lot of those decisions with his guidance. But the race that he has marked out before us isn't the details and all the decisions along the race. It's the destination. It's the end. It's the goal. Remember, this is a marathon. He already knows where he wants us to end up. And where he wants us to end up, the destination, is to be like Jesus. To follow Jesus, to become like Jesus. Our character would be shaped by Jesus. Our actions would be like Jesus. We would be like Jesus. That's one of the things that at Tim Koop's memorial yesterday is that we all said, Tim lived his life so well. He really followed Jesus and he became so much like Jesus and it was so clear in his life. And that's our destination. That's the race. That's where we're trying to go. That's where we're headed. That's the focus. Now, how do we get there? How do we run this race well to actually get to that place? How do we write a story that really ends well? Not perfectly, but ends really good. And the writer of Hebrews tells us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. How do we get there? We don't get distracted. We keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Now, in verse 2, it says that he is our pioneer and perfecter. Now, what in the world does that mean? It means that he came, God took on the human being flesh, Jesus. God came into our world, lived our life, and he started the story of faith. And he finished the story of faith. He was the pioneer and the perfecter. He got it started, he finished it. And nothing stopped him. Nothing distracted him. He finished it. He went all the way to the cross to die for our sins. He's the pioneer, the perfecter. So in other words, Jesus is if he's gonna help us write a better story, he's already been there. He's already done it. He knows how to write a better story. He wrote a perfect story. We're not going to write a perfect story, but he wrote it. So he is our guide. That's why we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because he's going to help us write a better story. He's going to help us be able to run a race that will actually get to the place that God wants us to be if we keep our eyes focused on him. You know, I've led mission trips to all the major continents of the world. I haven't done Antarctic and Arctic yet. Don't plan to. I don't know that the penguins need conversions, but I've led trips North America, South America, Europe, Asia, Africa, and the short-term missions that I led the best were to places where I'd already been. You know, I'd already been there, so I knew the challenges, I knew the hazards. I knew the culture, at least some of it, and so I could help prepare the team better to lead that. Now, if I ever invite you to join me on a pioneering trip, which I've done those, it's a lot of fun. You never know what's going to happen. But honestly, the trips that I lead the best are the ones where I've already been there. I kind of know what's going on. Well, that's Jesus. This is what we're being told here in this passage. Jesus has already been where we are. He's got it figured out. He knows it. There's no one better to help us. He's this pioneer and perfecter. And so we can trust him to help us write that better story. And so on this race, on this marathon, on this story of life, we're going to have all kinds of decisions to make. There's going to be some beginnings, some things we have to stop. There's going to be some turning points that are going to be really critical on this journey. And Jesus is the one who can help us best to finish that race well, to write a better story. And so we want to look to Jesus when making today's decisions for tomorrow's story. That's what the writer of Hebrews is reminding us. Look to Jesus for the decisions of today so that we can write a better story tomorrow. For me, I made a huge, huge, huge decision at age 14 that totally changed the trajectory of my life. I mean, it was a huge decision. And it was because my grandparents had made a new start. My grandparents, well into their 60s, maybe almost in their 70s, made a decision to start following Jesus. It totally surprised me. And so I was 14 years old. They came out for a visit. They had just begun to follow Jesus, and they came and they told me that I had to go to church with them for the next 3 Sundays. And so I was obligated. You get the story. You know, I'm a good grandson, you know, it's okay. So I went for 3 Sundays. Honestly, the 3rd Sunday when I went, I thought, good, this is over. They're leaving. I'm done. But I got an invitation as I was walking out the door of the church, thinking, this is it, yay, I'm done. I got an invitation to come back. Don't ever underestimate the power of an invitation. And being a pretty independent kind of guy, I thought, wow, okay. And I made the decision to go back to church on my own. Now, I'm 14 years old, I can't drive, so I have to ride my bicycle to church, and I do. And I go for several Sundays, and I get interested in this thing called the Bible. I'd never read the Bible, so I opened it up, started in the New Testament. The first 4 books of the New Testament are called Gospels, they're the story of Jesus. I start, for the first time, I'm reading about Jesus. I'm reading the words of Jesus. And as I'm reading this, I'm going, wow, I love this guy. And that was sincere. I thought, I've heard all kinds of things. This was the 70s. I've heard all kinds of philosophies. And this is the way I want to live. I want to live like Jesus. And so I made this decision. So follow this. I make a decision to go back to church. I make a decision to start reading the Bible. And then I made a decision. I want to follow Jesus with all my heart, all the days of my life. And I was baptized in August of that summer, a whole new beginning for me. And I'm telling you that there was, in my life, immediate dramatic change. My character began to change. My attitude towards people and life began to change. My friendships changed, and those were all for the better. It was an amazing transition. Now, back then, school didn't start till September, so there was one more summer camp. It was at the United Christian Youth Camp. It's the same camp that we actually send our kids and our students to. And there was a weekend camp before the summer was over. So I said, I've never been to a Christian camp. I want to go. So I went. Another decision. And I met this gal there. She's sitting on the front row right over here. Jolene. Remember, I was 14 years old. 10 years later, we're married. Huge decisions that altered my whole life. Decisions matter. Decisions matter. They have a huge effect on where we end up. They have a huge effect on our decision. Now notice, decisions aren't good intentions. Good intentions don't determine our destination. Good intentions don't help us write a better story. It's decisions informed by God that help us write a better story. That's why I'm saying the decisions today, even if we don't grasp how big or how much influence they have, decisions today determine your destination. And so what I want us to do today is I want to focus on one of those categories of decisions, the decision to start. I've sort of been illustrating that with myself and with Tim. You know, for me, the decisions to start were to go back to church just on my own, to read the Bible, to go to camp, and many more after that. Because once you make critical decisions, especially the decision to follow Jesus, which I expressed in my baptism, that changes all the other decisions going forward. And so we want to look at that. And what I want you to do is I want you to ask yourself this question. What do I need to start today? That's what I want you to focus on. What do I need to start today? What decision do I need to make to start something new today? What is God asking me to start that will help me write a better story, that'll lead me to a better place, a better destination? Now, let me give you some ideas of some things that you might want to consider starting. Ultimately, I want you to really listen to God. God knows what you need and most, and he's the one you want to listen to. But let me just suggest some things that'll maybe help kind of get your mind going and maybe make you even more open to what God is actually asking you to do. So last Sunday, on New Year's Day, I introduced the idea again. Actually, this is the third year we've done it, the idea of one word. Now, the idea of one word is that we go into this new year, and instead of having lots of resolutions, we pick one word that summarizes the one thing we want to have happen in our life. Maybe it's, and it could be, a new start. So you pick one word, and maybe it's something you want to start doing that would make a huge difference in your life. And you focus on that one word all year long, so that it really becomes a part of your life. So the problem is we sometimes make too many decisions and we focus on too many things and nothing happens. This is the power of focus. We focus on one word. So maybe that thing that you focus on, your one word, is what you need to start this year. Something else you might consider is a start decision. The decision to start reading God's word consistently. Research has shown us that if you will consistently be reading God's word, that will have the most spiritual impact on you than anything else. Consistently. Because if we're consistently reading God's word, we're allowing God to speak to us. That's what he does. He speaks to us through his word. These are his words. That's why it's called God's word. And we hear him, and he informs us, he directs us, he guides us. And so the more we're consistently in God's word, the more change and transformation happens in our lives. And so this can be an a powerful tool to bring about the change to write a better story. There's actually nothing better. Now, how do you do that? Well, there's all kinds of reading plans out there. One of the most popular right now is an app for your smartphone or your tablet. It's called YouVersion. You can find it in the App Store, YouVersion. YouVersion has all kinds of reading plans, and the YouVersion is actually the Bible online, all the different versions you want to look at. So you might want to look at that app and use that app. It's a great app. Almost everyone I know that likes to do the Bible digitally uses the YouVersion app. We've also designed a Bible reading plan here at Pantano. And ours is really simple. We focus on one book at a time. We read one chapter a day, 5 days a week. Now, the reason for that is it's not too much, not too little, but not too much. One chapter a day, anybody can do that. 5 days a week, because inevitably we forget or get behind a day, so you've got the weekend to catch up. And the Bible plan, right now we're in the Gospel of Luke. I use this. This is the plan that I use. Right now we're in the Gospel of Luke. You can pick these cards up at guest services. They're available. Or you can go onto our website and you can download this online. Or you can even subscribe online at our website. And you'll get a Monday through Friday, you'll get a reminder of the chapter for that day. You can actually read it there on your computer if you like. All of that's available. So this could be one of those decisions that would have a huge effect ultimately on your destination, reading God's word. Maybe you want to write a better story about your finances. You want to spend less, save more, get out of debt, be able to be more generous. Okay, I just listed four things that are huge. Spend less, save, get out of debt, be more generous. How do you do that? How do you start doing that? Well, you're in luck. We got a class starting this week. It's called Financial Peace University. Financial Peace University. We call it FPU for short. Financial Peace University is a great class that will help you do all of those things I said and more. And it begins this week. Hopefully when you came in, you got this handout that talks about the class beginning. And not only FPU, but a whole bunch of other classes as well. It could be that financial peace or one of these other classes is the very thing that you need to start with as you're trying to write a better story right now. And I'm going to encourage you to do that. By the way, you can sign up for those online and find out more information online as well. And then I got another idea for you. What if your one word for the year was trust? I know a number of people have chosen that word. Or what if your word was risk, take more risks? Or what if your word was adventure? I got a perfect solution to help focus on that and make that a reality. What if in 2017 you made the decision to go on a short-term mission trip? You see, reading the Word of God has incredible spiritual impact in our lives. But I've also experienced that going on a short-term mission trip brings about profound change. Some of the greatest changes that I've experienced in my spiritual life happened because I took the risk to go on a short-term mission trip. I got outside of my comfort zone and trusted God to lead me in some unique way. We have a number of short-term mission trips planned this year. The next one coming up in May, that's our next one, is to Santo Domingo, Ecuador. And you can find out about that trip and some of the other trips online, and you can even sign up there and find out when all the preparation is. Just let us know you're interested. Maybe this is a decision that would bring about huge transformation. Maybe the decision is as simple as I'm going to get a passport. I'm going to start that way, and then I'm going to see where God leads me in that. And then last is this. I've shared four ideas with you right there. Maybe you're at that place you're going, I still don't know what I need to start. And that's okay. We've created a tool to help you figure that out. We have a tool on our website, a digital tool. It's called The Compass. And what you do is you go on and you just take answer a few questions. And there's an algorithm that's built into that, and it takes your answers and it sorts them out. And what it does is it's going to suggest to you some books that you might want to read, some classes that we offer that you could take, videos that are available for you free online, some activities that you could do. It just gives you a whole bunch of options of something that could help you take the next step in your growth to write a better story. And so maybe use the compass to figure out what it is that you need to be doing to start to write a better story. You see, the decisions that we do make today have a huge effect on tomorrow. So I want you to keep thinking about this. This is what we're going to keep thinking about in this series. What does God want you to want? What does God want you to want? And then when that's clear, then what is the story that God wants you to be able to tell? What does God want you to want? And then what decisions will you make that will help you tell the story that God wants you to tell? And then specifically, what I'm challenging you today is to focus on what does God want you to start today? What does God want you to start today that'll help you write a better story? The most important starting decision that we'll ever make is the decision to start following Jesus. There's no other decision that will have more impact in our life. If we decide to start following Jesus, and we truly give him the authority in our life to lead us, to guide us, we trust him to do that, it will begin to affect every other decision we make, and it will ultimately affect our destination. It'll affect the story that we're able to tell. When we choose to follow Jesus, he leads us to be able to write a better story. That's my experience. I often think about this. I often think about, what if I hadn't decided to follow Jesus? I'm pretty sure I'd have a pretty messed up story. I'm pretty sure that I would not like the story I'm living had I not made the decision to follow Jesus. He leads us to be able to write a better story. And not only that destination, it even goes beyond that. Because when we choose to follow Jesus, the ultimate destination he leads us to is life that never ends. Tim Koop, who passed away on Christmas Eve, got to experience his final destination, eternity with the Jesus he loves. And when we make that decision, it is the most important decision ever. And when we come to the place when we're ready to do that, just like I did when I was 14 years old, then we make that decision as a promise, as a commitment. And it's in a thing called baptism, water baptism. In our baptism, we promise we're going to follow Jesus to the best of our ability. And we're not going to do it perfectly, to the best of our ability, all the days of our life, until we get to our final destination, eternity. And we're going to have an opportunity later in our service for folks to be baptized. At our other service night, four folks were baptized. And if you are ready to make that commitment to follow Jesus, if you're ready to let Jesus lead you to write a better story, and you're ready to make that commitment, we're going to have that opportunity in just a moment, and I'll give you instructions in just a moment. But before we do that, I want us to just be able to pause for a moment, just to kind of take a little time to reflect on the challenge that I've given today. No matter where you're at in your story, maybe you've been following Jesus, but you want to do it better. You want to write a better story. Maybe you're making the decision to follow Jesus. Wherever we're at in our story, I want us to pray this simple prayer. Just right now, right where you're seated, you don't need to do it out loud. Just between you and God, I want you to pray this simple prayer. God, what do you want me to start today? God, what do you want me to start today? So let's take a few moments and just pray that prayer in reflection, and then I'll close us in prayer, and then I'll give instructions for what's next. God, we want to make decisions that truly do help us write a better story. And we want to want what you want for us. And so we're asking, God, what do you want me to start? God, what do you want me to restart? Help us, God, understand that. Help us, lead us, guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. If that still isn't clear to you what God wants you to start, keep asking. He's faithful. Keep asking him what he wants you to start. And maybe you're ready to start following Jesus today. At the end of our service, we're going to have an opportunity for folks to be baptized. And so here's how we do it. And in just a moment, we're going to sing a couple songs. As we sing those songs, I'm going to invite you to come down. And we've got people here to help you. We've got rooms, private changing rooms, and change of clothes, towels, everything you need. If you're ready to begin this journey with Jesus, to run the race with him, to write a better story with him, I want to invite you to make that commitment in baptism today. And so whether you're in Coop Court, which has been named after our beloved Pastor Tim Coop, or any of the courts or here in the auditorium, come on down here to the door here on your left. I'll meet you there, and there'll be people there to meet you. And just come, and then we'll help you get ready for that. Would you stand as we sing? And if you're ready, come on down.